This morning, in this hour of the show, we will return to a topic that we like to do every once in a while, particularly this time of year, I guess, and that's to talk about children's books. Maybe you are thinking about a book as a gift. It is the time of year when some people like to exchange gifts. And of all things over the years that we've believed that we could, without shame, promote, one of those things is reading for grown-ups and for kids. And we're pleased to have back with us this morning two guests. They've both been here before on the show, Janice Del Negro and Deborah Stevenson. Both of them are part of the Center for Children's Books, based here in the Graduate School of Library and Information Science at the U of I. Janice is director of the center, and Deborah is editor of their publication, which is called The Bulletin. And this is something that is intended for teachers and librarians, actually for anybody who's interested in keeping up with children's literature. It's the kind of thing that parents, in fact, if you were interested in finding out what's going on with children's literature, you could take a look at it. No doubt it should be, copy should be available at whatever your local library is. They also have an online version if you have internet access. You could find that very easily by just typing that in there, Bulletin of the Center for Children's Books, and you could find it. And there's articles there about what's new and interesting in the field. So we're welcoming your questions now. I know that Deborah and Janice will talk a little bit about what's new and maybe have some titles to suggest. What we've done in the past also is to tell people who are listening, well, maybe there's some book that your family has really enjoyed, that's been a big hit with your kids. You can call in and tell other people about that, or, you know, other kinds of questions are certainly welcome. 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line that's good anywhere you can hear us, 800-222-9455. Well, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Nice to see you.
It continues, I'm sure, now to be just a booming field. How many new titles do you think there are, new children's titles at every year now?
We're still sticking to about 5,000, I think.
5,000. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And when we were kids, what would it have been? I'm sure it wouldn't have been anything like that, would it?
2,000 maybe, between 2,000 and 3,000.
So it's been a big boom in the
late 80s?
Yeah. Right, but also there's the first 60s boom and then the 80s boom. There's the funding boom and then the corporatization boom.
Yeah. Well, and I guess that's the other side of it, that just because we've got 5,000 new titles every year doesn't mean that they're all 5,000 of those are going to be really good. some small percentage of them are really good, and that's one of the things that you all, I know, are trying to do, is to help, help parents and also librarians and teachers to try to sort through them all and figure out which ones that really are the best ones.
Exactly. It's just when you walk into a bookstore or when you're looking at a list, it really is hard to know what to look for if you don't already have some suggestions. So we just like to make it as easy as possible for people to pick up some books and share them with kids.
Yeah.
And there are so many media tie-ins now. You know, there are so many things that are takeoffs on movies or television shows that are pretty much written to formula that tend to be glossy and glitzy and recognizable. Mm-hmm. And so they're easy to pick up, but they're not necessarily the best book you can buy for your intended audience.
Well, fortunately, though, there does seem to be an awful lot of really very, very good writing for children of all mm-hmm. ages, and wonderful artwork, just terrific stuff. When you go right from books that are just picture books, they're pretty much about the pictures, to books that have text, but also have nice illustrations. So there is a lot of good stuff out there.
We had a really good year for picture books this year, don't you think?
I think it was a really strong year. Come to the end of the year, it's always kind of fascinating to see what we're feeling a little privileged in. And last year, for instance, we were just swimming in wonderful nonfiction. We still had plenty of wonderful nonfiction this year, but it was really, I think, picture books that it was the stellar year for this time.
Which doesn't always happen.
I don't know where you want to start in talking about titles, but since we've been talking here about picture books, are there a couple that you think really in your minds really stand out?
Well, sure. I actually brought one of them because I wanted to read one of the lines from it because it's so nice. It's by Lynn Ray Perkins, and it's called Snow Music. And it's a picture book basically about how the world sounds after a blanket of snow has fallen. And it's following mildly the adventures of a little boy as he's trying to get his dog back. He opened the door to look at the snow, and the dog darted out in the snow. But it's also just about how the creature sound as they're running over the snow and how the non-creature sound as they're running over the snow. And it starts out with an instruction that everybody should whisper, Beth, 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 to make the sound of the falling snow. And then the little squirrel running around, and the text is in the pattern of the squirrel's footprints. I think I left it here somewhere. I think I know I left it here. No, wait! Which is, of course, exactly how squirrels run across, especially across the road, if you're trying to cross the road yourself. And it's just one of the most beautiful winter books I've seen in a long time. But it's also not, as Janice says, flashy. And it's the sort of book that we want to make sure people know about when they're looking at things with sparkles on the front, to know that if you want a really lovely winter book, that there's something like this there as well.
Hmm. Yeah, the latest book with foil on the cover is not necessarily the one you want to buy. And this book, Snow Music, doesn't have foil on the cover, but it does have a beautiful snow globe. So you can recognize it that way. It has this big snow globe on the front. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful and quiet, and the art is just really outstanding.
Well, that should be something that would be, I would think, would be obvious if you get past the cover,
right,
whether a book is really good or not. Pick it up and start paging through. And I would guess as a grown-up, if you would say, this is really beautiful, I would think, mm-hmm, that kids would say, would have the same kind of reaction.
It's hard when you're going in as an adult into a space which is just loaded with stuff, and it's all racked so that you can to attract your eye and attract your attention, and you're trying to rush and you don't have the time to sort of page through. That's why Deborah put together the Guidebook to Gift Books this year, which is just this outstanding little document that gives you annotations for new books and old classics. And you know, carry that in your bag whenever you're going shopping.
Well, and this, we should mention that too, because first of all, it is available online if, mm-hmm, people want to look at it that way. The Guidebook to Gift Books for 2003. So people can do that. And where can someone get a hard copy of this?
It's actually available right now in a downloadable only version. So it's
for the
Net Connected, who can take a PDF file, because that was how we managed to do it for such an inexpensive price. It's at $350 this year, that you put in your credit card, and then it authorizes you to download a copy, and we can offer a little help if things go slightly awry, as we know that nothing ever goes as smoothly as you'd want it to electronically.
Okay. And for people who don't have internet access, though, you're just going to have to find a friend who does? That's the only way that it's available.
There's that. And then the other thing is that it really isn't the only book list available in the world. And what we're mainly all about is encouraging people to go in and find the books for young people, and that often they'll find a list in a bookstore or in a magazine or things like that. That just anything you can do to kind of help you negotiate those stacks of attractive looking, mm-hmm, books and find some ones that are really work with the kids. Mm-hmm. We don't care if it's from us or not, although we think ours is quite good. I wanted to follow up to Janice's point.
And I didn't write it, so I can say that.
The other thing when you're talking about the whether the adults will see the same thing as beautiful as the kids, that the foil and the sparkles sort of thing that often when you're looking through a bookstore, especially if you are 8 years old, that's really attractive right then. Mm-hmm. And that'll make it through maybe the first reading, whereas I think something that has a little more to it, like Snow Music, is, I think, more likely to survive rereadings and batterings and being dragged about the house and so on. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that is one good recent picture book, Snow Music. That's the title of the book that you like. Was there one that you wanted to talk about?
Oh, gee, picture books. There were just so many nice ones. I was particularly fond of Susan Elia's Oh No, Gotta Go, which illustrated by G. Brian Karras, which is a book in English and Spanish. Elia combines English and Spanish in a rhyming text. It's all about a little girl who goes for a Sunday drive with her parents, and Papa was supposed to check and make sure she had, taken care of her business before she left the house. And
you should have gone before you left.
You should have gone before you left, and he didn't. And so it's all about the ride to find a place for this little girl to go to the bathroom, and they finally find a restaurant, and her mother jumps the line to get her into the ladies' room, and then they go have dinner. And our little girl drinks a lot of lemonade.
I can see where this is going.
It's a very funny text. It's a very funny text. I mean, rhyming texts are usually very difficult to pull off anyway, because it's very constrained in some ways. But this is really a wonderful rhythmic text, and she manages to combine English and Spanish in ways that are just remarkably with remarkable ease. And I was just talking to a librarian the other day who used it in a bilingual story time, and she said it went over just beautifully with children and their mothers. Their mothers really liked it. So that was gratifying to hear that, because to hear that it had been used in a practical setting and had worked so well.
Mm-hmm.
So very different from Snow Music, which is really quite lyrical, as opposed to Oh No, Gotta Go, which is really quite funny.
Well, there are certain, you know, there's lyricism and then there's the realities of everyday life. You got to have some of each of those. Our guest this morning, this part of Focus 580, Janice Del Negro and Deborah Stevenson from the Center for Children's Books. Their home is in the Graduate School of Library and Information Science at U of I. Janice Del Negro is the director of the center, and Deborah is editor of the center's publication, The Bulletin, which comes out, is it every month?
It's 11 times a year. We get a month off in the summer.
And basically, as I explained in the beginning, it's a publication that's primarily for teachers and librarians and people like that who are just trying to keep up with the field of children's books. Questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. We want to talk about some other titles.
We had a really interesting picture book this year, the Neil Gaiman Wolves in the Walls, which was interesting because it's a picture book, but it's not for preschoolers, and that tends to be a common misconception about picture books, that they're for very young children. And that's not necessarily so. This particular book, Gaiman wrote this very spooky little novel last year called Coraline, and this year he wrote this story called The Wolves in the Walls, all about a little girl, Lucy, who hears noises in the walls and knows that there are wolves in the walls. And she tells her mother and her father and her brother, and nobody believes her until one day the wolves come out of the walls. And it's illustrated by, the artist's name just went totally out of my head. He's a very well-known illustrator of graphic novels and did the Sandman series with Gaiman at one point.
Was probably the same guy who did the illustrations for Coraline.
And he does the illustrations for this picture book, and they're very sophisticated, and they're a mixed media collage and pen and ink and very powerful images. Again, I had a librarian who used it with a third grade class and said that it worked. It was just, they were fascinated by it. Not only by the story, which ends well, you'll be happy to know.
Good.
But by the art, that they were fascinated by the art. And that was really intriguing for them.
Well, I get it. He was on the show, and we talked about Coraline, and I liked it a lot. And I think this is a book that it's intended for a certain audience, but it seems like a lot of adults have grabbed onto this book because they like, because it's a good story, and maybe everybody can sort of identify that with that idea of the child. In this case, it's a girl hero who ends up rescuing her family from the forces of evil, assisted by a cat who is 100% cat. Is when you think about, okay, what exactly is cat? Well, the cat in that story, that's it right there. A cat who has is kind of a wiseacre, but, you know, knows plenty. You know how cats, they look at you like, I know more than you do, and we both know it. Well, this is one of those animals. So I like that book a lot. So my guess would be if you liked that one, you probably, no matter how old you are, if you liked that one, you probably would like this one too.
Well, and Gaiman's just he's just a good writer. It's so nice to find an author, and his body of work isn't that huge, even for adults yet. Mm-hmm. So he's young. I hope he's healthy and writes lots and lots of books.
And there's a couple of good points there in what you were saying, Janice, about the use of picture books for instance, middle grade readers, or even junior high readers of some books. I think especially when you're looking in a bookstore, often they don't have a lot of room to subdivide. And sometimes there are going to be things in the picture books that are actually good for older kids that people might not think about. And especially kids who are more drawn to artistic representation than words, because not every kid wants to read a big thick thing of words. And there are, especially I think with the overtones of Gaiman and his graphic novel career, somebody like that, I think can be a real attention getter for a kid who's looking for something that is sophisticated. And that's the nice thing. Both of those books are genuinely spooky. They're controlled spooky. Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons that adults might like it too, is that there's not so many really good spooky books for kids that you have to kind of look at it longitudinally. You can amass a nice little oeuvre, but every year we're not overwhelmed with them. And that was a good spooky book. And kids like that and grown-ups like that.
Yeah, very good. Well, the idea is here is we're going to let you talk about books. So you can go on and mention some more titles.
Well, Janice was talking about middle grades, and I will talk about a very different tone in a book. I guess I'm in the softer-edged books today. and that is one that I really loved called Snowed In with Grandmother Silk. And it's by the late Carol Fenner. And it's a middle grades book. Probably can go down to a good second grade reader through about fourth or fifth grade, depending on that. About a boy named Ruddy who's stuck staying with the prissy grandmother he really isn't very comfortable with. As the book describes the setup, Ruddy had never been to Silver Lake in autumn. He had never seen Joe Penny chop wood or lay a fire. He had never seen the trees on Grandmother Silk's lawn turn yellow and red. He had never seen a zillion Canada geese fly over the lake, nor heard their honk, honk, honk grow faint as they traveled south. And he didn't want to, either. What's lovely about this book is that, of course, he does end up staying with Grandmother Silk, and they get a freak Halloween snowfall. And it's very much from the kid's point of view. It's not, oh, no, you failed to appreciate this wonderful woman, your grandmother. It's that now that they're stuck digging up bucketfuls of water from the frozen lake and lighting fires in the fireplace and trying to light the burners on the gas stove to cook their food, she kind of thaws a little bit herself, and the prissy hairstyle falls apart, and so he's wandering around in his gorilla costume, which was supposed to be his Halloween costume to keep him warm, and she's wandering around in her mink, and they're trying to learn chess, and they're reading old books, and they're both a little surprised to find that they're having such a good time together. So it's also a mild little survival story in its way, without any real threat, but it's the pleasures, you know, of, oh no, we're snowed in, we'll have to be just pioneering and light the burners on the stove. And it's just really delightfully tuned with every word, and a very enjoyable read, as well as being one that I think a lot of kids will relate to with relatives that maybe they're not quite as close to as people seem to think they ought to be.
Well, good book for this time of year, both because it has a winter theme and it also has that sort of getting to know your family kind of theme.
Exactly. This is definitely a season where a lot of kids are encountering relatives that they don't see on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
You know, for kids who are a little craft-oriented, maybe, if you're looking for a nonfiction title, Deborah Friedman did a book called Picture This, Fun Photography and Crafts. And what tends to irritate us about craft books at the Bulletin is sometimes they assume this huge availability of resources and this enormous sophistication on the part of the reader. But this particular craft book is about photography, about using disposable cameras, digital cameras, to do arts and crafts. It talks about taking trick photographs. Most of the crafts are on one spread, very clearly laid out, very cleanly labeled. Good photographs. Better have good photographs. And it's not out of the realm of possibility for most kids who are interested in this kind of stuff. What's also interesting about this particular book is that while it's telling you how to do a particular mini project, like create a journal or do a trick photograph where it looks like you're holding somebody's head in your hand, and while it's telling you all of these cool little tricks you can play, it's also talking about things like perspective and composition and lighting and how you set up a photo and how you balance a photograph. And so sort of slipped in with the crafts is some of the art of photography, which is really nice in a book like this, which – which looks like, you know, your little standard hardcover, little skinny craft book. So if anybody's looking for a nice little package gift, you know, you need this book and a little disposable camera and, you know, you're all set. You have a nice gift to give that niece or nephew in the middle grades who's okay. looking for something a little exciting.
And what's the title of the book again?
It's called Picture This.
Picture This.
Fun Photography and Crafts. It came along with another title called Funky Junk by Renee Schwartz, which was the subtitle is Cool Stuff to Make with Hardware. And, you know, often you look at craft books and they have lots of little pink bows and things on them, which doesn't exactly attract. It doesn't exactly attract boys, and some girls are put off by that pink and shiny stuff. And this one has all kinds of crafts to make with things you'll find on a workbench somewhere, you know, nuts and bolts and wire. And my favorite thing was the chess set made out of nuts, bolts, and washers. That was my favorite. Wasn't that cool?
That was true.
It was
fabulous.
So cool.
I love hardware stores. That's weird, but I know there's some people.
I think it's very common, actually.
Really? Okay.
Drawers of all kinds
yes.
of cool things.
Yes. There's a certain tribe, maybe not everybody, but who would say, yeah, I could actually go and spend time just wandering around and looking at stuff.
This is the book for you, this funky junk
and
book.
I think there are a lot of parents who share that pleasure with their kids and would get such a kick out of going to the hardware store to get the stuff for this book.
It's very nifty. It's very nifty. I'm telling you, the chess set, it is just worth it just for that one craft.
And that's actually a nice pointer that we always like to make, which is that it's getting the books is nice. Better still is finding a way to share them with the kids. And that one of the things that can be nice to think about when you're buying a book is how can you share this? And will you enjoy reading it out loud? And the nice thing about Funky Junk is that's something other than just reading it out loud. There's really some way of sharing this book with a kid. If you all want to go off and go to the hardware store and wreck the dining room table by setting up a chess set made out of nuts, bolts, and wires, well, go for it. That's what I say.
And then you get to play chess, you know. Exactly. Then there's a whole other aspect to that.
Well, that's great. No, I like that. Particularly now we're coming to the time of year when maybe people are going to need suggestions for indoor activities.
Absolutely.
You know, what do you do when it's just way too cold to be being outside? We're about our midpoint here, and we're talking this morning on the show about children's literature, what's new in the way of children's books, something that we like to do periodically here on the show. We do programs maybe a little bit more often where we talk about what's, you know, new in the way of books for grown-ups, but we all want to remember that the same thing for kids. It's great for them to be reading, and particularly here, if we're at a time of year, people are thinking about that as a present. You want to pick something good. Well, we have some suggestions here. We have two guests who have spent a lot of their lives probably looking at children's books and thinking about it and following it and finding out what's new. Both of them are part of the Center for Children's Books, which is here at the U of I, based in the Graduate School of Library and Information Science. Janice Del Negro is director, and Deborah Stevenson is editor of their publication, The Bulletin. So you have questions, maybe you want to give us a call, 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Also, if you want to suggest a title, maybe there's some book that you have come across recently that's been a big hit in your house and you just want to call in and mention it, that'd be great. I suppose the other thing that we've done sometimes is we've said to people, if you're looking for a suggestion, if you have a child who is nuts about something, you know, you'd want to know, well, is there a book about that thing? Or if maybe there's a particular genre that they like and they've read everything they could find, but they're still looking for something like that. Our guest can make a
suggestion. We'll give it a shot.
They can give it a shot. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Well, let's talk about some other things here.
Well, it looks to me like today Janice gets to be the practical one and I get to be the out into the ether one, maybe. One of the books that I really wanted to talk about is a book of poetry by Cynthia Ryland, and it's called God Went to Beauty School. And it is lyrical, funny, imaginative, irreverent except for its true faith, collection of poems about God doing sort of ordinary everyday things, which are of course different if you do them when you're God. I particularly like God Got a Dog. He'd never meant to. He liked dogs. He'd liked them ever since he was a kid, but he didn't think he had time for a dog now. He was always working, and dogs needed so much attention. God didn't know if he could take being needed by one more thing. But he saw this dog out by the tracks, and it was hungry and cold and lonely. And God realized he'd made that dog somehow. Somehow he was responsible, though he knew logically that he had only set the world on its course. He couldn't be blamed for everything. But he saw this dog, and he felt bad, so he took it on home and named it Ernie. And now God has somebody keeping his feet warm at night.
Who knew God had a dog named Ernie?
This is a wonderful book.
God cooks spaghetti and orders from Pottery Barn and does all sorts of interesting things that you would not have ordinarily thought of as godlike. And this book, I think, has a lot of breadth. We've been hearing a lot of different reports of successful use from sacred and secular context. It's another book that I think is got a breadth of readership because it's got some really interesting, provocative thoughts, but they're also accessible, and there's not a density of words on the page. So, again, readers who maybe are a little intimidated by a lot of words but like to think about stuff, and, you know, that's a hard category to find stuff for, would find this a really enjoyable piece.
I mentioned probably also finding good poetry for children is also not all that easy.
Well, actually, if we made a list in the last 10 years, we'd have a pretty substantial list. But annually, what do you think?
Well, I think poetry is one of these areas that tends to really polarize for kids, especially, that there's a lot of really awful poetry for kids.
Uh-huh.
But fortunately, there's also really, I think, a reasonable enough helping. You wouldn't need to go dry as long as you had help in the selection. This is quite unusual. Rylance done other poetry stuff, and it is true a lot of the poetry tends to be more comedic, but there are other things if they like this to go on to.
Okay, and the title of the book is God Went to Beauty School. All right, we have several callers here now, and why don't we talk to them? We'll start with somebody who is on a cell phone. That's line two, right here. Hello.
Yes, hello. I'm looking for a suggestion. This is for a little boy whose favorite books are the Captain Underpants books. Again, I would like to upgrade him to something a little more literary. you know that.
Listen,
you know
Captain Underpants is fun.
It is. It's very funny.
But
yes,
if you want to look at something that has maybe a little more, I don't know, class.
All right. I'm a snob. I'll admit it. A little pleasure. I mean, I read that with my grandson. But,
sure.
And laugh, but you know, I want something else to read with him too that he would read himself when I'm not around. Okay.
I would take a look at, kids tend to like series books. You know, Tony DiTerlizzi has a new series out this year. It's called The Field Guide.
Okay.
And so far, I think there are three titles out.
Okay.
And The Field Guide is one, is the first one. And it's about two brothers and a sister who move into an old house. And it's very nicely written. It has some beautiful illustrations. It's short chapters, very sort of a little cliffhangery, a little magic, a little adventure.
Like you like it. Yeah.
And I think he might like those. And they would make a really nice read aloud, I think, if you're reading them together.
Okay.
I think that would be a pretty good choice. That would.
Could you give me his last name once more?
It's actually by two, Holly Black.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony DiTerlizzi. That's DiTerlizzi.
Okay, and the first letter is D, not...
D like David.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Oh, got it. Oh, okay. That really sounds like it's just on target. Thanks a lot.
And they're very handsome looking, so they'll make a nice gift.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Let's go on. We'll go next to Champagne, and this will be line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
I have a fourth grader, a girl, and she's been in school. She's been studying the planets in science, and she's getting very interested in them. And so I like to strike when the iron is hot as far as reading goes. And she's also interested in the connection between mythology and the names of the planets. So I had gotten a nice volume for children on mythology for my boys who are older, and it was done probably in the late 50s, early 60s. You're probably familiar with it. It's, I believe, a husband and wife team with really unusual...
The Dolares.
Yeah, right, the unusual illustrations. We do have that one, although I'm not sure if I have it close by right now. But not. I was looking for something a little bit more modern, if it existed. But, you know, something that might have interesting stories about mythology for this level and or about the planets. She's also been recently reading biographies. She's getting a little bit more interested in nonfiction books. So, mm-hmm.
Are you interested in a collection of general mythology for her, Greek or Norse or...?
Yes, either would be fine. Maybe I sort of thought I was sort of leaning toward Greek, but Norse would be. I'm just trying to get her something that she's interested in right now, so that she'll, you know, pick it up and won't be able to put it down, sort of thing.
And she's in the fourth grade?
Yes, she is. She's almost 10.
There are several books that came out this year that are on tales of the goddesses from various mythologies.
Mm-hmm.
That you might want to take a look at.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Burley Mouton?
That's it. I couldn't remember
the author's
name.
Names.
We're trying to remember the author's name here. There was it's an oversized book called Goddesses, I believe. And the illustration on the cover is of a sea goddess with long hair, long flowing hair. And it's... give us the author's name again.
I think it's Mouton, M-U-T-E-N.
That's it.
And the first name is Burley, B-U-R-L-E-I-G-H.
Okay.
And that's a collection that she might like in terms of mythology. Older collections, there are quite a few. If you think she would like a novelization that is based on mythology, perhaps, you might have her look at The Goddess of Yesterday, by Barbara. She did Tune In Anytime. Cooney.
Caroline Cooney.
Caroline Cooney. Not Barbara. Caroline.
And how did you spell Cooney?
C-O-O-N-E-Y. But also the nonfiction biography stuff, Deborah. There's a whole maybe.
She just finished Small Steps by Peg. I believe it's Carrot.
Oh, right. And that's an autobiography.
I'm sorry. I meant autobiography.
Oh, no. I'm not correcting you. That's interesting. If she liked that, that's actually rather a good genre, because several authors who write for young people have really written really nice autobiographies. So she might enjoy pursuing
that. She really liked that very much. And I read some of it with her. And it's still at the writing is still at a level for fourth graders, you know, so that she didn't have too much trouble with the vocabulary at all, and she just liked the story a lot, the idea that the author had overcome polio.
Right. And that's something a bit more specific to focus that of course, not all authors have. But,
right.
If she liked any of the R.L. Stein books, R.L. Stein's It Came from Ohio is hilarious. It's a wonderful autobiography. And I think would probably be very readable for a fourth grader.
Great.
And that's just, it's so enjoyable. It's
so
just
funny.
She enjoys witty things as well. You were talking about poetry just a few minutes ago, and she's one of the ones that prefers the witty one, the witty poetry. Well, good. I'm on my way to Pages for All Ages, so.
Great.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Thanks. Bye.
Let's go to the next caller, and this listener is in Byron, Illinois, on our toll-free line.
Morning.
Yes, hi.
Actually, a very interesting topic. Thanks a lot for picking this up.
Sure.
I think more parents ought to pay attention to the quality of the books their kids read. I have a 3.5-year-old daughter who gets a lot of books read to her at night, and I was just appalled by some of the quality of some of these newer books. They're just badly written. I suppose, you know, a few years ago, everybody was talking about writing screenplays, and I suppose that's why we have so many bad movies these days. Everybody is writing screenplays. Well, I think everybody thinks they can write children's books.
Yes, they do.
I was just appalled by the bad English, the bad storytelling, and you know the mixing of slang and adult idioms in kids' books. And then the art is really bad in a lot of these books too. They're just very I know, just grotesque and inappropriate. And again, it's just like adults who think they can be kids are really doing a really bad job of it.
You know, she's 3 and a half.
Right.
Have you looked at any of the Marie-Louise Gay books?
No.
There's some really, she does some really lovely picture books. The last name is Gay, G-A-Y, and she does books about Sam and Stella. Stella is the older sister, and Sam is her little brother. And there's 3 or 4 books just about Stella. Stella, Star of the Sea is one, and there's a Queen of the Snow. Stella, Queen of the Snow is another one. And she just started to do a series about Stella and Sam. And there's one called Good Morning Sam that came out this year, and one called Good Night Sam. And the writing is very clean. She's a watercolorist, and she just does some, her drafting is just lovely. And what's really nice about these books is the relationship between the sister and the brother. They're very simple, not very text heavy. The kinds of books that you would be willing to read over and over again.
Right.
As opposed to the kind of book where you finish it and go, phew, who wrote this? You know?
A lot of good cartoons, especially like the older Warner Brothers cartoons, I think they appeal to the adults, or they have to have something interesting for the adults
right,
as well.
Right. And these are very kid-oriented.
Right. I like for instance, she and I agree on certain things like the Poppleton books, the McCloskey mm-hmm. books, Sid Hoff. I'm going back in time now, and I'm sort of scouring all the thrift stores because I am much more comfortable buying the older books, which
right.
I've noticed a lot of them have been cannibalized now. I mean, they've taken some of the old Curious George books and taken one story, split them up,
yep.
and rewritten them badly, and then turned them into these cardboard books that they sell for 5 times the price. It's disgraceful.
Well, the board book, the dumbing down on the board books is something that you really have to be careful of because it's a totally different format than a picture book. So it usually doesn't work.
And you're also making a really good point that there are books out there that are published for children, but the adults who are creating them are having a hard time resisting making jokes to the adults over the children's heads. And that's the sort of thing that you might look at and say, that's a funny joke, and then it's helpful to have that second thought and go, and will my 5-year-old get it?
Right. Well, where are the editors? I think that can be applied to pretty much all genres of literature these days.
But take a look at these Stella and Sam books, because they have a real classic feel to them. You know, they really have a much more, they're old-fashioned without being outdated.
Yes.
So they're really quite lovely.
Right.
I bet you like them.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
And let's go on here. Matt Toon is the next caller on line 2. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for your program. I'm enjoying it.
Sure.
Could you tell me again the author of the God, was it God Went to Beauty School? Is that the one about God and the dog Ernie?
That was it.
Okay, and the author is?
The author is Cynthia Rylant, R-Y-L-A-N-T.
R-Y-L-A-N-T.
Exactly. And
well,
in
thank
fact,
you very much.
Sure. She's a very talented lady. The previous caller mentioned the Poppleton books, and she wrote those as well.
Okay. That's and great. We also apparently did have a maybe there are some callers who think we're going too fast or make sure we need to mention the titles more than once. Somebody particularly, I guess, wanted, again, the book about the boy who got snowed in with his grandmother.
And that's called Snowed In with Grandmother Silk. And the author of that is Carol Fenner, F-E-N-N-E-R. And we certainly would want you to find that. So we're happy to say it again.
Other questions here? We have about 10 minutes. Are welcome. 333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455. Before we end up out of time, I do want to mention again, for people who have internet access and who are interested in titles, suggested titles, there is a publication that the school here, the Graduate School of Library Information Science, the children's book people here have put out. It's called The Guidebook to Gift Books for 2003. It is available online, but only that way. And the reason that they did it that way was to make it as inexpensive as possible for people to get it. And you can download it if you go to, get your pens and pencils out now, www.lis, which of course stands for Library and Information Science. So lis.uiuc.edu/giftbooks. So if you go down there, you can get it, you can download it, and it costs just a couple bucks.
$350.
Yep. Okay.
And if you just go to the LIS site, there should be a link on that too.
Okay.
So if you just forget the rest of it, you should be able to get there from there.
That might be the easiest way to just go to the site of the.
Exactly.
It's on the front page.
Graduate School of Library and Information Science.
Okay. At least it was yesterday. I just wanted to
mention
one thing. There's been a lot of. For those of you who have older children who are into fantasy novels and they like those big fat fantasy novels, there are a lot of books that I won't even mention here that are getting a tremendous amount of press this year. And they're fine, sort of, but they're not the best big fat fantasy books that are out on the market this season. So if you're looking for something that perhaps your 7th and 8th grader or 9th grader hasn't read yet that may keep them busy for longer than, you know, an hour and a half, you might want to look for Diana Wynne Jones' The Merlin Conspiracy, which is an adventure story about parallel worlds and battles for power and those good, strong, ethical questions that pop up so often in fantasy novels. That's one. There's a book called The Goose Girl that came out that was based on a retelling, based on a folktale by the Grimm brothers, the Brothers Grimm. And there was another big fat fantasy novel called East, which is based on East of the Sun and West of the Moon. Strong main characters, strong adventure thread, well-paced. One of our favorite fantasy novels this year was by Terry Pratchett, who some of you might know as a very prolific fantasy writer, who I resisted reading for years because he just wrote so many books, and it was like, how could you even start reading them because there were so many? But he's just recently begun deliberately writing for a younger audience, for a young adult audience, and this year he wrote a book called The We Free Men, which is just hilariously funny. And I gave it to my 11-year-old, and every now and then I would hear this peal of laughter coming from her room as she was reading it. It's one of those novels that pokes fun at all the things that make fantasy fun, and yet takes them very seriously when the moment of truth really comes in the text. So if you're looking for something funny that still has a nice strong base, take a look at The We Free Men by Terry Pratchett.
Is that we as in little? Like
we
W-E-E?
As in little. Yes.
The
We Free Men.
Yeah. All right. And the other books were the Merlin Conspiracy that you like?
The Merlin Conspiracy by Diana Wynne Jones.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book called The Goose Girl. You're going to ask me the author's name, aren't you? And I can't remember it.
Well, as long, the title should be enough.
The Goose Girl.
The Goose Girl. Yeah.
And East.
All right. We have another caller to talk with, I believe, in Champaign, line one. Hello.
Yes. I wanted to know to rename the book, the field guide. What age is that for?
Oh, the field guide. The field guide would be anywhere from third through sixth grade.
Okay.
Depending on their reading level, depending
right.
on how they're reading.
Okay. What do you suggest for a first grade? These are a first grade girl.
A first grade girl? Do you have any idea what she likes? Or
well,
what she read lately that she liked?
Not really.
Okay.
I have two granddaughters. One's uh-huh. real athletic and adventuresome, and the other one is loves dolls and is also, I don't know, real outgoing.
Nope.
Anyway.
Which of those is the first grader?
Pardon?
Which of those is the first grader?
They're both first grade.
Oh, okay. And do you know, are they both reading on their own?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. There's that that Players in Pigtails book. Shana
nice
Corey,
one.
The last name is Corey,
all right.
did a book called Players in Pigtails, which is about women baseball players.
Okay.
It's a picture book with a really accessible text. It'd make a good read aloud. Mm-hmm. She could probably read some of it by herself, but especially with another grown up helping her along. It's a good story.
Okay.
What about that for the for?
I was thinking Dahlia.
Oh,
exactly.
Yes, that's such a good one.
Yeah, Dahlia, D-A-H-L-I-A, and the author is Barbara McClintock. It's the story of a little girl. It's actually set in Victorian times, and she's kind of a little biologist who gets a doll, and she's actually rather disappointed because it's a very pretty, elaborate doll, and she's more into spiders and whatnot. But this doll proves to be the best companion she's ever had as she's going out in the mud and taking this wonderful, diligent doll with her who just puts up with everything and is very happy to be thoroughly loved the way she is.
Okay.
And it's really a wonderful doll story.
Okay. I have two, I have a suggestion for the three, four, I don't know, whatever year old. The, you know, Bill Peach, does he still, The Womp World, which is sort of a beginning.
They're still
of,
in print. They're
good.
Still in print.
Okay, and Drufus the Dragon. They have morals, and they're good sketches, and they rhyme, but they're interesting. I mean, I could read them over and over. I just love them.
the art's really quite dramatic. I mean, he had a good cartoonist career as well. And there's a touch of fantasy to the animals he creates, which
right.
makes them very appealing to kids.
Right. But they have a good thoughts in them, I think. Okay.
That's a good suggestion.
Yeah. Thanks for the reminder.
All right. Thank you. I think we're about the point here where we're going to have to stop. I know we could go on. Maybe what we should do is sometime in the near future have you come back, and we shouldn't wait an entire year before we do this again. In the meantime, first of all, people looking for suggestions for books, they might seek out the publication that both Deborah and Janice are involved in, which is called the Bulletin of the Center for Children's Books. That tries to help teachers and librarians keep up with what's new. And, of course, go down to your library, go to the children's section, and talk to the librarians there.
Absolutely.
They are very nice people. And, you know, some people say, oh, I don't want to bother them. That's what they love to talk about, children's books. If they didn't, they wouldn't
You're
have
supposed
that
to
job.
Bother them.
That's their job to help you. So that definitely that's a great resource. You know, go down and talk to the children's librarians.
And there's lots of lists. At libraries, too. They spend a lot of time putting book lists together for particular grade levels and things like that. So
they can help.
It's a good place
they
to go.
They definitely can. And if you're also interested in, if you have internet access, you're interested in children's books, the bulletin is online. So if you want to look at it, you can do that. And then also there's the book list that we've talked about. The easiest way probably is go to the webpage of the Graduate School of Library and Information Science, and you can get at it. That way. Deborah and Janice, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks
very much. It's always nice to have
us.
You here.